Coming up on episode number 155 of the Knife Junkie Podcast, we're covering stories in Knife Life News. Bob's got a new article in Knives Illustrated, as well as some new old knives and a tip of the week.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your hosts, Jim Person and Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Well, hello, Knife Junkie, and welcome to episode number 155 of the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm Jim Person.
And I'm Bob DeMarco. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, the place for knife newbies and knife junkies to learn everything about knives and knife collecting, get to hear from knife makers, knife manufacturers, knife reviewers, anybody that loves knives. And on the midweek supplemental episode of the show, that's when we get to dive deep into some of the stories in Knife Life News and some of the other things that Bob wants to talk about, kind of teased some of the things coming up this week's show, episode number 155. Bob, a lot to cover. Hopefully this week will not be another hour like we did last week.
No, we're going to be brisk on all of these. I don't have much to say about any of them, but it all needs to be said.
All right. So first of all, I think you uncovered a new site, or at least new to you.
Yeah, new to me. And, you know, maybe I'm just late to the party, but I was looking around for some Great Eastern cutlery knives because I wanted to get my brother a birthday present. And I always get a modern tactical folders. And I know that that's what he wants and that's what he likes. But some of the best gifts he's ever given me are things that I didn't necessarily want. Like my first Leatherman, I was like, oh, that's cool. I wish it was just a blade. But ends up, you know, 25 years later, I still have and use that Leatherman. And so I figured this would be the same thing with my brother. So just looking around, it's really hard to find Great Eastern cutlery knives new right now. You know, they came out with the beer and sausage, and that was gone immediately. I couldn't get my hands on them, even though I knew they were coming. So looking for Vic, it was a problem. And then, I found this place, The Knife Connection, and they have a number of GECs in stock. And actually, they tell you how many they have in stock per model, which is great. So I ended up getting my brother, Vic, if you're watching, turn this off because you're not going to get it yet. But I ended up getting him a number 83 Oilfield Jack in tortoiseshell. My brother loves tortoiseshell. I just bought a new base. Well, and his old base, my new base from him. It's got a tortoiseshell pickup, pick guard. He's always loved that material. He actually got me to love that material. So I'm getting him that knife. Anyway, Knife Connection, they have GECs in stock. Definitely check them out.
All right. Cool resource to learn about. There's always something new and exciting we're uncovering here. And, you know, if you have already been familiar with it, our apologies. I'm sure there are other folks out there that are not. So that's what we try to do, bring new resources, new information, old resources, that kind of thing, bring it to light, talk about it, and expose more knife newbies like myself to help them become knife junkies like you. So speaking of knives and Knives Illustrated, something that we talk about from time to time, Bob, you, of course, good friends with Slicey Dicey, Brian Ball, the editor of Knives Illustrated, have also started to become a writer for Knives Illustrated. And you had quite a surprise, I guess, a pleasant surprise when you went to a retail store. So I'll let you tell about it.
Yeah, it was the first time I've been in a bookstore since, you know, before March, I suppose. So it's been the better part of a year. And it was nice. It was Barnes & Noble. There was no one in it. I had the run of the store, just ambling around. I decided to go to the magazine section, see if they have any knife magazines. It was totally innocent. I pull this up. I see an Iron Dragon by Emerson. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I wonder why they have an Emerson Iron Dragon on the cover of Knives Illustrated. I'm like, oh, that's my article. So I bought three of them because that's how many they had, because, you know, they can't keep those on the shelves, especially when I'm writing the cover article about Emerson's. So obviously I had to pick up the last three. And of course, that's a joke. That's me being high handed. But I was thrilled. I have to say, I was thrilled to see it. And man, Brian Slicey Dicey is doing an amazing job as the new editor of Knives Illustrated, because it just looks beautiful. through and through. It's got a number of really great articles in it. There's one by Nick Shabazz in there. There are a number of other really great articles, beautifully illustrated with photographs, and man, great magazine. So check it out for sure.
Again, the knivesillustrated.com, that's where you can find Bob's article. And of course, if you want to go to your favorite bookstore, they will have the physical copy there. Or if you would like to get a subscription, I'm sure the folks at Knives Illustrated would love for you to subscribe. Last Thursday night, Bob, I think you mentioned it briefly on Thursday Night Knives, mm-hmm. as the conversation was going, a challenge to use a small knife. You want to kind of give me a little more details about that?
Yeah, one of my favorite YouTubers, and he's from Ireland. His name is Paddy's Potato Peelers, Paddy from Across the Shock, how he introduces himself. He has a love of small knives. He loves slip joint knives, and his videos are adoring. I mean, he really adores these little knives, and he gets you excited about them. And so this past week, he was doing a video on the Peanut, which is a traditional pattern. It's a jackknife, small jackknife with a pen blade and a clip point blade. And he had received one from Heine Haynes, a European knife distributor over there. And he was just talking about how much he loves the Peanut and how he was going to use that exclusively all week. And he challenged everyone watching to do the same thing. So I have this Peanut. It's in purple corian. And so I used that and I used this. And actually, I posted a picture on Instagram of me, of the bagel I cut with this. And let me tell you, this is the GEC number 6 Pemberton. It's a very small knife, and it could not get to the core of that bagel all the way through. So which means it was a good bagel too, nice and fluffy. So I had to open it up and dig in there. But you can do whatever you really need to do pretty much with something like this, unless you're working with your knives, you know. That's it.
Right. I think it was the purple knife. What did you say that material was?
Corian. Let's see. It says right on here. Purple Passion Corallon.
You know, I'll probably ask you what that is, if you know.
Corallon. It's like Delrin. You know, it's just a synthetic material. Okay. But it's swirly and purple. I like it.
Yeah.
So the small knife challenge, it was fun. So.
All right. Well, I like that knife, too, and I may have to talk to you about where to get one and how much that is, because my son is a huge Prince fan. And, of course, the color purple, he would love that. He's the first year in college now, and he has been known to take one of my knives from time to time when he was working at the grocery store and that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe it's time for me to buy him his first knife. Well, I don't know if that would be a good one or not.
Yeah, it might be, but there are a lot of other great purple knives out there. You can talk to Brian about that, too. That's his favorite color. He's got a lot of purple knives.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Brian's price range is a little higher than mine, especially for a knife for the kid. But anyway, all right. Still to come, we've got another tip of the week from the Knife Junkie, as well as some new old knives that has a family connection. But coming up next, it's Knife Life News.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie podcast. And now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
All right, Robert, Mr. Knife Junkie. We've got several stories in Knife Life News to talk about, and I think we're going to start with a story involving Benchmade.
Yep, just a quick update, because we talked about this when Les D'Assis passed away. May he rest in peace, that his son John would be moving into the position of president and CEO, and it is now official after an interim period where Les D'Assis' wife, Roberta, and I suppose John's mother, took over that role, but now John is in place and he will be steering the ship. So yeah, I mean, he's been around that company the entire time and had the tutelage of his father. So it should be great. I mean, I just wanted to mention this news. It is official, and everyone has full faith in him. So
yeah, not a whole lot to say other than what's happening and that kind of thing. Yeah. So. Not sure.
Cool that it's staying in the family.
Yeah. Not sure what, if any, changes that means for the future. But I guess the future will let us know after we see if things continue or if there are little tweaks and changes, that kind of thing along the way. All right. beloved K-Bar. You want to talk about the K-Bar, something going on there?
Yeah, actually the K-Bar Dozier Folding Hunter, which is, it's been around for 20 years. It is a lightweight FRN, so that's fiberglass reinforced nylon handled, unlined handle, so it's very light. OS 8 drop point blade. It's been hugely famous over the years because it's very inexpensive and very, very capable. A folding hunter in general is a single bladed folding knife with a lock generally, unless you're talking about the slip joint versions. And so this is just knife, folding knife. It's kind of as generic as it gets, but it's got a lot of character in the different colored handles and the different treatments it's gotten over the years. Actually, I have a mini version of that, which I should have pulled out for this, but it's in a little survival pack that I keep in my backpack. And it's just there all the time. You just pop it out and use it if need be. It's one of those kind of knives. It'd be great to have a few of them and stash them around. Anyway, this is a, as I mentioned, a beloved knife, and it just got an upgrade to D2 steel, which is kind of the premium budget steel. I don't know. That's kind of where budget knives have been the past year and a half kind of capping out at D2. And, you know, it's a great semi-stainless carbon steel, right? Semi-stainless steel, high carbon. Oh, geez. Now I'm embarrassed talking about it, but it will stain. I can get it very, very sharp. It is a tool steel and it's semi-stainless. Anyway.
Sorry, all right, let me jump in and save you. Let's move on.
Yeah. So it is an upgrade. Check it out. Okay.
Okay. All right. Next up, a brand that you love to talk about. And most of the time it's kind of tongue in cheek, I guess, if you will, but the James brand.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I call it a hipster brand. I dish on it. I think it's only because I'm intimidated by their sense of style. But they keep coming out with cool knives, and so we keep talking about them here. And the latest one is called the Pike, and it's a slip joint, and it's got a beautiful Warncliffe blade, similar to this style blade. And it just has major style, and it's 2.3 inches, so it's shorter than the knife it's replacing in the lineup, which is the County, which was more of a sodbuster style, bullnose style blade. So this is definitely a little gents carry. To me, the Warncliffe is the perfect blade for a small little knife like this that you're going to carry in your pocket, because if you need to discreetly tear out something out of a book or out of a newspaper, you got it right there, excuse me. And you can do so much with that blade shape, and you get so much cutting edge right there at the fore. So this, I don't know, this Pike might be my first James brand knife. And as you see that example, it's got a steel frame, but with massive inlays, or maybe that's an overlay. Right there, you're looking at micarta. I think they also have a wood that it will come with. But just a beautiful, beautiful little knife. What do you think?
Well, you know, maybe I'll do like you did just a moment ago, moving on. Because you know, I'm looking at this going, okay, that's not really much there that I see from the picture. And, you know, apologies to the picture. It's doesn't look like all that much to me.
Well, I think maybe that's the point. It is definitely a minimalist sort of design. And I think that's what kind of has me about it. And it's got the massive inlay / overlay thing. And right now, that's very appealing to me. You know, that's what drew me to that Mark One by Douglas Esposito, that full handle inlay. Just, I don't know, right. Something about it knocks me out. And, you know, like I mentioned, that blade is perfect for the purpose. Drop it in your pocket,
okay,
or your slacks pocket.
Yeah. Know? Well, maybe I'm learning a little bit about my taste. You know, I think I like minimalist, but with a flair, maybe. Maybe a little color or a little jig bone or a little something like that, as opposed to when I'm looking at this knife, I'm looking off on my other screen here. To me, it just looks like a black wood handle, plain Jane knife, you know. So that doesn't do it for me, but but yet I'm not way up on the other side of scales where I need a lot of fancy type stuff. I mean, if that makes sense. So
I understand. I mean, it has to do with that minimalist, like this is the Medford Gentleman Jack one. It's got a very minimalist feel to it. I could see this and that going together. I get what you mean.
I like the Medford better.
Oh yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just because it's got silver or a little bit of color or something. I mean, and maybe this picture just doesn't do the James Brand knife justice.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Maybe not. Or like you said, maybe it's just a matter of personal taste and style.
Yeah. Yeah. But definitely what we would like to do, and I know you've mentioned it before, is get somebody on from the James Brand to talk about their knives. Maybe they can show off this one and some of the others that, maybe have some better pictures or that type of thing. And I know you would like to learn more about James Brand, and I would too, now that I've heard us talking about it from time to time. So James Brand, if you're listening, email Bob at bob@thenifejunkie.com and let us know.
And check your inbox. You already have my...
If you have any experience with James Brand, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Call the listener line at 724-466-4487. That's 724-466-4487. Finally, in Knife Life News, Bob, Dirk Pinkerton back in the news. Something you want to talk about?
Yeah, I just have to mention before we move on that the Pike is 12C27N. So it's a Sandvik Swedish steel. Not anything to write home about, but... definitely a decent serviceable steel. So Dirk Pinkerton has another knife out. He's been red hot in the production world. He has one out with Artisan. He has one out with, current one out with Kaiser. He's got, with Artisan, he's got those big, Proponent? What's it called? Those big giant Wharncliffs. And his style is very EDC/tactical friendly. He has a lot of these Wharncliffs, these aggressive Wharncliffs. And his latest is with Concept or Cancept. I'm pretty sure it's just Concept, which is a brand that has been started by someone who used to be a pivotal player over at Kaiser Knives. And they've just been tearing it up with their own in-house designs. And also they're reaching out to designers and getting some outside designer designs like this one, the very small Main Street. Now, this is like another little knife you can drop in your pocket. That's a 2.3-inch, I believe, blade. And, you know how I feel about the Wharncliffe. Super useful. But this one is pretty aggressive. You could use it, to fend off, tyrants and rapscallions if need be. But it's about the size of the Shard, 3 inches in length. That's what it is, 3 inches. Sorry about that. G10, carbon fiber. And, I don't know. It's up my alley. I gotta say, I could definitely identify that as a Pinkerton knife. You look at that his designs definitely, his knives are all in the same language.
Well, that's, I guess either good or bad. That was the first words that came to my mind. I guess it's good that you can, notice a brand or a maker's style with every knife, but then the reason I said it's could be bad is, if there are folks that, maybe are not huge fans of your style or super fans of your style, maybe if you did another style that was not recognizable, you'd have a bigger market, you'd have more fans that maybe would like this knife that you made and not that knife. I'm kind of the rambling one now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense. And I understand what you're getting at. And it could be that designers like Pinkerton who make one design, like he made one, say he makes the Shard for Kaiser, or he makes some sort of Wharncliffe. It's a success for that company. Then Artisan comes along and says, well, we want a Wharncliffe because you've had success with the Wharncliffe. You obviously designed these really cool Wharncliffs. Let's have one of yours. And then the other company, Concept, comes along and says, we want a Wharncliffe from you too.
Right.
And now suddenly Dirk Pinkerton is pigeonholed as the Wharncliffe guy. When in reality, I mean, you look at his designs, he has some others like the Nomad, which is an upswept, it's his favorite design. It's an upswept, what do you call it? Like, scimitar. You know what I'm talking about, the upswept Persian kind of blade. So okay. that's his favorite, and he's got one of those. Whereas he's got a million of these, not a million, but he's got many right. Warncliffs out there. So the fact that he's got a deep bench in terms of design, and he on his own makes a wide variety of things, is a good thing. You look at someone like Ferrum Forge. You know a Ferrum Forge knife when you see it. They do have a variety of style, a variety of designs out there, but for sure, you know one of their knives when you see them. And sometimes it can be too much. Sometimes it can be hard to distinguish between models if they look too similar. But then again, to super fans of any sort of designer, the subtleties will be apparent, you know.
Well, and again, you know, some folks collect the style of knife, like you were talking about, the Warncliffe that Pinkerton had three different makers, you know, coming out with. So, you know, that's a market there. Some folks will collect just Dirk Pinkerton's, you know, design knives or made knives or whatever. So from the business side of it, a lot of different angles to go for there, and a lot of different reasons folks collect knives, and therefore you need to make knives for those different folks and those different collecting categories.
Yep. And actually, while we're talking about Pinkerton, he does have a knife that's very unusual out with Kaiser, and dagnabbit, I wish I thought of it before we, but it's the one, it's his Pikal knife. It's a frame lock, titanium frame lock thumb stud knife that comes out, and it's, you know, like one of these, except in titanium form. And, now I can't remember exactly the inversion. Definitely want to get that. And that is different. It's very different from his usual Warncliffe kind of thing. So, I'm not picking on Dirk saying he's a one trick pony. I'm saying, companies are coming to him for a certain design right. because they've seen the success that other companies have had
right.
with that.
So. Right. Right. Yeah. They want to get on that success with their own company brand, own company.
Exactly.
Now. Yeah. Well, a lot of ground that we've covered in Knife Life news still to come. Bob's tip of the week, as well as his stiff collection.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
All right, Bob, state of the collection time. We're talking new old knives. What does that mean?
Well, my parents are here visiting from, you know, from home. And oh, hey, mom, my mom, what's that?
Hey, Mom and Dad.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome. My mom, where they live in a little community, and my mom runs this little, flea market there. I mean, you know, not flea market, like garage sale kind of thing. And, you know, people, it's a community for older people. And, you know, when there are things left in houses, it goes to the sale, they sell it off, the proceeds go to the community. And, so my mom runs that little shop, and, she had a couple of knives.
Wait, just a minute, Bob. You're what? Telling me that your mom has access to all this kind of good stuff from estates that people are moving, all these kind of goodies. You know, I'm in the resale business, and this is the first time I've heard of this. I thought you were my friend, Bob.
My God, never. Okay. Okay. It never occurred to me because.
Bye.
That's funny. It never occurred to me because usually it's furniture. You know, it's furniture and silverware. And, you know, no ice picks. I've never heard of any ice picks coming through, but now that you mention it, I will find out what's on the roster there. And if there are any good takes for you, I'll make sure to get them.
Back to the knives.
They had a couple of knives come through, and my mom grabbed them and, you know, bought them. And gave them to me. The first one is a little pre-classic Victorinox classic. I think it's a pre-classic, but this is like a mother of pearl, you know, synthetic mother of pearl, Lubrizol. And interesting thing about this, you know, it's got the scissors. It's got really much stouter pull on these slip joint springs than the current day Victorinox classics. Really snappy. So it's kind of weird because I know that if things come to this estate sale, the people have died and this stuff is just, you know, hasn't been claimed by their family or whatever. And so now I'm the caretaker of whoever had this thing. So the first thing I did was throw away the toothpick because And then I took some compressed air, blasted it out because A, there was dust in there. And, you know, there's a fingernail tool here. And I just can't abide by having other people's cells in my knives. And especially when I know the story about the knife or loosely. So I blasted the whole thing, rubbed it down with alcohol. It's now mine. And I will take good care of it. And actually, you know, it's a little sentimental of me, but I know that someone carried this for a while and it meant something to someone, even if it was just, you know, a little utility thing. The other knife, well, two others. The next one is this great little lockback. So this is an Imperial Frontier. 4715 is the model number. Frontier. It's like a million other little knives. You've seen little lockbacks. The cool thing about this is that it was used and sharpened and used and sharpened a million times until it looked like that. And this is what it probably started life looking like. Something similar to that. Maybe not a clip point, but still, it was a full-bellied blade, most likely. And so this person carried and used this thing for a long time, sharpened it down to that.
I love that one.
And look at that. You can see a little etch in there that says Goodyear. You can just barely see the G. But yeah, I love it too.
So does that mean it was a like a promo item for Goodyear tire and rubber? Or?
Yes. It was. It's exactly what it was. And it's got, you know, unlike this, this little one I was showing, which is, the promo items. Yeah. This is a solid walnut, you know, brass. I gotta clean this up a little bit, but just used. And the great thing, it's very stout. It doesn't have any wiggle side to side. It has a little up and down, but it's a lockback. It's an old lockback. But yeah, Imperial Frontier.
You know, if I was in the market for another knife, I like the looks of that one. I must admit. Plus, it's a promotional advertising item. So I've always loved old advertising items, old country store items. So that would definitely be one that I would be in the market for.
You know, Jim, we talked about this electrician's knife the other night. This was a promo item. Yeah. Or at least an item that was bought from this Swift Electrical Supply in Nanuet, New York.
Or a giveaway item from them, yeah.
There are a lot of those out there. That could be something you could sink your teeth into, I bet, and find some really interesting cover stamps and things.
Yeah. Well, and I like the Imperial you showed up because you know, it kind of reminds me of the buck knives, the couple that I have. You know, I love the wood, the brass kind of combination. Just that to me is more of the simplistic design that I like, as opposed to the James brand knife you showed off a little while ago, earlier in the program. That knife right there, it just looks classy, you know, wood and brass.
Right. Classy and classic. Whereas the James brand knife is really cool design to me, but it's slick and modern. Whereas this is not slick and modern. This has that old-timey feel.
Right. All right. So another knife that Mom found for you?
Yeah, the last one is a chef's knife / camp knife made by the Dexter Knife Company that I'm unfamiliar with, but I think they must have been out of New York. I'm not sure if they're still around. But this is this was branded for L.L. Bean, you know, the outdoor outfitter. And I'm not sure how old it is, but I've always wanted a sort of Sabatier style carbon bladed chef's knife. And so that's exactly what this is. It's a pretty stout, you know, it's not too much thicker than my, I actually haven't measured, but it doesn't seem much stouter than, say, like my Wusthof Trident kitchen knives, but it has a much longer handle. So it immediately makes me want to chop. So I think this would make a great camp knife. I think it would make a great all-arounder. You know, you could take this out into the woods with you. And I feel like, you know, unless you're planning on splitting all your wood with your knife, I feel like this could do you great out there. And plus, it gives you little extra room to choke back, to do like tasks that you might consider a little bit too heavy duty for a chef's knife. But in any case, I love it. I think it's really cool.
Cool. You're going to be actually putting it to any use, or is that a wall hanger?
No. I'm going to sharpen this. It's still sharp back here, but you know, like most knives, it dulls out towards the tip. So I'm going to get it nice and sharp. I'm going to, take down, I'm not going to fully, polish it, but I'll clean it a bit, you know, just to kind of get the other person's juju off of this knife and kind of get my own in there, oil the handle up a little bit and get it in rotation, up in the kitchen. So thank you, Mom. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Mom. Keep me in mind next time too.
Yeah, right.
Especially when you get something like that first one. All right. State of the collection continuing. A lot of stuff always to talk about in Bob's State of the Collection. New knives coming in, sometimes knives going out. But this time is actually about using a knife, Bob. Some hard use of your cold steel.
Yes, my Laredo Bowie, which Dag Nabbit left it upstairs. I thought I had everything assembled, and I'm not going to get it. You know what a Laredo Bowie looks like. I have a patina on my blade. Looks kind of like that. It is such a beautiful knife. But recently I did some investigating, you know, YouTube investigation, and found out that the tang, which I thought was a rat tail tang, meaning a thin piece of metal going all the way to the back to the pommel that's threaded with a nut. I thought that's what it was. But in reality, what it is a short rat tail tang soldered to or welded to a piece of steel cable that goes back to a nut that caps the pommel and then that's sanded down. And it seems like an odd bit of, I'm not going to call it subterfuge, but I mean, why would you go through all that trouble when you could just have a longer tang and thread it and it would seemingly be stronger and easier? So that's when I went on my little epic search for a new buoy, and I got two.
Right. You know. Right.
But with my folks here, we're doing a lot of, fire pitting, and my daughters are into this concept called hygge. Hygge, which is from, the Nordic European countries. I think maybe Denmark. And, it's all about getting warm and cozy outside with a fire when it's cold out. So okay. We're doing that. So I figured I should chop up some wood. I like to use my Trailmaster, Trailmaster Bowie. Today I decided, or yesterday I decided, I'd use the Laredo to see how it held up, see if that tang was as insufficient as I suspected. And I took it out and started pounding it through wood. And lo and behold, the thing is awesome. It's very stout. I think my at least for one use, or if a weekly use for making tinder, it will be fine. I think maybe my hysteria over the tang of the Laredo Bowie was unfounded, perhaps. So if you have a Laredo Bowie, don't worry. Don't throw it away. It's still a good knife. Right. It's just not what I expected under the handle.
Well, maybe not what you expected underneath the hood, but performance was still good, as you said, right?
Yeah. And who among us hasn't experienced that in one fashion or another?
All right. So anything else about the state of the collection this week before we move along?
I'm thinking not, Jim.
All right. Well, I think Mom did you well for this state of the collection this week. A couple of little knives there, and so it's nice to have your tentacles out in the world with other eyeballs on the lookout for you for knives. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Tip of the week. We've done that from time to time. I can't remember. Was it last week or the week before? You did a tip of the week about saving the box when you were kind of talking about some of your resale efforts. And another quick little tip of the week this week, Bob?
Yeah, the pivots of these slip joint knives. You know, I've been really into slip joints lately. That's been my recent jam, so to speak. Sometimes the pivots are less than satisfactory. For instance, this old electrician's knife has great walk and talk to open and great walk and talk closing to the half stop, but then here it falls off. So a thing that you can do to improve the action of your slip joint knives, and this isn't this won't cure every problem, but it can solve a lot, is to take a rag and fold it up, make sure it's nice and thick. So you open up the knife, and this is for slow close and open. This could be for grit. This could be for, say it's an old knife and it's really hard to open up. So open it up, drop some oil. You can use even 3-in-1. I use gun oil or mineral oil, like sharpening oil. There's also knife pivot lube and those kind of specialized, knife oils, but you don't need those. Just drop a little bit right in the well there, right in the pivot, and then maybe a little bit right there on the backside of the tang. Wrap the blade with a rag, and then just open and close it, open and close it, open and close it, open and close it. And then take some compressed air, blast it in there, and then re-oil, open and close it, open and close it, open and close it. And it's called flushing the pivot. I'm pretty sure that's what people are referring to when they use that term. But that's what I'm referring to. And then really after you blast it with the air a second time and add a drop of oil, if it's going to be any better, it will be better by that point. And you'll get great action. And really what you're doing is kind of removing old grit, getting it out of there and blasting it with the air and then wiping it, helps some of the little tidbits, the little tiny gritty bits out, and you're not just recirculating, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, you're also just wearing in that pivot. It's kind of like when you get a new and stiff frame lock and you hold the frame in and you open and close the blade to sort of get the detent ball to create a track. You're kind of doing the same thing with the full contact with the blade.
Kind of, what you talked about earlier with those, estate knives, kind of getting the other person's funk off of it as well as loosening it up a little bit.
Exactly. I will be doing that with this knife. This is a lockback, but you do the same thing with a lockback.
Well, if you wanted to clean that one up really nicely and just put it in the mail to me, I'll make sure you have my address.
All right, cool. you can tell. I'm sorry, Jim, I think you would like this. You can tell, like, this has been dropped in the parking lot 100 times, you know. You can tell from the little dents, and this thing has just been in the pocket for years. I love it.
Yeah, no, that's kind of knife I like, you know, just that simple knife like that. A lot of ground we have covered. I want to remind you that if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out on Wednesday, that tomorrow night is our Thursday Night Knives live show on YouTube. You can watch that at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube or theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. That's the Knife Junkie's Facebook group. You can join and become a member and share and also watch the show there either on Facebook or on YouTube. You can catch all the replays at theknifejunkie.com/Thursday. And Bob, the reason I mentioned Thursday Night Knives tomorrow, Thursday, October 15th, that's the third Thursday of the month, and that's going to be our Patreon knife giveaway.
That's right. We'll be giving away the Topps Knives iStick. It is a push dagger, very large, very heavy. I've been showing it off for weeks now on the show, but I do have it boxed up at this point. It's ready to send out. Ready to go. But it is a chunk. I think it's thicker than a quarter inch, you know, but it's a push dagger. It's got a double-edged blade and a huge handle. And what an awesome piece it is. And we got that as a donation to the channel from our good friend, Stu from Stone and Steel Knives up in Vermont.
Yeah. And thanks to Stu for that. And go ahead. There's still plenty of time for you to become a member of the Knife Junkies Patreon. The $10 a month level gets you into the knife drawing. And a little inside joke here. If you've been listening for a while, you need to join because Caleb needs some competition because he has won 2 out of the 3 knife giveaways. So I'm sure he doesn't want anybody else to join, but come on, folks, you need to get in there and join so you can give him some competition. But thanks truly for Caleb and to all the other patrons of the Knife Junkies Patreon. You can find that at theknifejunkie.com/Patreon. We are with you 3 times a week. Sunday is the interview show this coming Sunday. Lance Abernathy, Bob, that's who you're having a chance to chat with on the interview show.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the 2020 reload that Sniper Bladeworks is seeing. Lance Abernathy, custom knife maker, head of Sniper Bladeworks, came out in 2009. He won an award, Best Tactical Knife Design in 2013. And then he kind of went away for a little while, had a retooling, and he's back and with a production line, a limited production line that is very exciting, has gotten a lot of great press so far from big time reviewers like Jim Skelton. So very exciting. And what a cool guy. Great guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you'll like that interview. Should be live on Sunday afternoons. You can find it on the Knife Junkie website, thenifejunkie.com. Of course, plug the Patreon again. Patron members get early access and ad-free access. Patreon members get early access to the interview show on Friday evenings. So a couple of days early for you to listen to that interview. Again, ad-free if you are a Patreon member. All right, Bob, we have covered everything in my show notes. Anything I missed or anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I also want to say thank you to everyone for listening and being a part of the efforts of what Jim and I do. It's greatly appreciated. And without you and your enthusiasm, we'd have no more reason to do this. So thank you so much for listening. That's all.
Yeah. Well, and maybe bring your enthusiasm in a couple of weeks to the Thursday Night Knives. You know, Thursday, October 29th is 2 days before Halloween. How cool would it be if everybody dressed up in some Halloween garb for Thursday Night Knives that night? So think about that and make your plans to join us tomorrow and every Thursday for Thursday Night Knives here on the Knife Junkies podcast and media empire, if you will.
I like that.
Yeah. So for the Knife Junkie, Mr. Bob DeMarco, I'm the Knife Newbie over here, Jim Person, saying thank you for joining us on episode 155 of the Knife Junkie podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, thenifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on thenifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at thenifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to Bob@thenifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie podcast.